Kurds in France have been targeted and their anger is growing. An attack on this community has laid bare the consequences of increasing hate speech in the country. But who's to blame and how has such speech led to violence? This is Inside Story. Hello and welcome to the programme. I'm Hashim Ahlbarra. Kurds in Paris are demanding answers following the killing of three members of their community on Friday. Anti-racism groups and thousands of other people joined rallies in the capital that sometimes escalated into violence. French police arrested a 69-year-old man in connection with the gun attack. The protesters' main concern is why the shooting has been declared a racially motivated incident instead of a terror attack. Osama bin Javid reports.
Battleground Paris. For hours, police and protesters charged against each other in the French capital. Kurdish demonstrators are angry at authorities' response to the attack on Friday, which killed three refugees. They want answers from the police. Why did it take so long for them to respond to the attack? Why have they not designated this a terrorist attack? And why wasn't security provided to the cultural center after it had earlier been asked for?
We've been working on the 10th anniversary of the killing of our three comrades. 10 years later, we, the Kurdish women, are still asking for justice, and now again our blood is spilled in France. We are angry, and the French state is responsible.
They refuse to remain confined to one square where the police allowed them to protest. Kurdish demonstrators say the bullets fired in the attack were felt by every member of their community.
As the protests have calmed down here in Paris, the police and security services are out in force, clearing the protesters from the street, going from Republic Square to Bastille Square. But the anger in the streets of Paris continues.
As more videos emerge from witnesses, some show onlookers overpowering the attacker. Security sources say he still had multiple magazines and dozens of rounds of ammunition. Yunus witnessed the attacker targeting the cultural center, a restaurant, and then a barber's shop. He says the 69-year-old man knew where he wanted to open fire.
The state wants us to believe it's a racist attack, but the guy was released from detention 10 days ago. In 10 days, he found guns and came here. We want to know. We want the state to answer.
The killings have touched a nerve among France's migrant communities, with protests in other cities as well. They want to know why an attack on a minority community isn't being designated a terrorist attack. These Kurds chanted and called for revenge. And unless the government can satisfy their demands, their anger is unlikely to go away. Salman Javed, Al Jazeera, Paris.
Hate speech narratives against minorities have risen sharply in France since the run-up to the presidential elections in April. Right and extreme right-wing politicians have fanned hatred against migrants and others to gain popularity. President Emmanuel Macron has been accused of making attacks on Islam. French Muslims form one of the country's largest minorities, and many have spoken of their fears of increasing prejudice and discrimination. And in sport, French players of African descent have been subjected to racist comments and threats. Some say they are only accepted as being French in France when they don't lose. Let's bring in our guest. Hamid Shrit is a columnist from El Post. He joins us by Skype from Paris. Joining us by Skype from Gothenburg is politician and political advisor Dr. Kosha Walidbegi. She is also an activist for Kurdish rights. Reem Sara Alwan is a researcher in comparative law at University Toulouse Capital. She joins us from Toulouse. A very warm welcome to the programme. Hamid, could you explain to us the rising wave of anger among the Kurds in France?
Well, there is a clear anger in the street for the all minority in France. I believe that there are also those who are French citizens on the paper, but do not seem to enjoy the status of being a French. For example, takes the French Muslim community. The community suffers from higher impoverishment in school and dropout rates, and isolated on city peripheries. And I believe now the some mainstream politicians who openly embrace Islamophobia. That's why today we have gotten anger. The government did not take any action to fight this racism and discrimination. Today is, of course, the Kurdish community, but it can happen from others, minority in France. We need to take action from this government, and I believe that today it's a time to really act and to fight this racism in France, who has taken a lot of place. I remember during the campaign how one candidate, I don't want to speak about him and to give him any publicity. So I believe today it is very important to fight this discrimination. Mm-hmm. During this campaign, we've seen a lot of racism targeting Muslim people, targeting migrants. And I'm not surprised, and no one is astonished today, that this barbaric attack and terrorist attack, that we need to qualify it, it's predictable.
OK. Kushar, the suspect has been describing himself as a racist with a history of weapons offences, and also he has been released on jail just days before the assault. Is this the main reason why people are so upset with the establishment, with the police forces in France?
Yes, let's not forget that there's two aspects of this what is happening in France at the moment. Mm-hmm. We've seen for many years, especially for the past 10 years, the far right and racism is increasing in Europe. And we need to cover this more. We need to raise awareness why is racism increasing and why is certain minorities are targeted. At the same time, this the riots that are currently happening is from the Kurdish community mainly, and this is because there's an anger within the Kurdish community in France at the moment, as we're seeing with the riots. And I believe sometimes it's understandable to say that they need to raise their voices, but maybe they could have done it in a different way. And this is because historically the Kurds have been a target. This happened on the 10th year of where the three Kurdish women were murdered and assassinated, and the French government did, and authorities did unfortunately not clear this up. And the Kurds have previously as well been a target in diaspora. If we mention a few of them, it's Dr. Kasimlu in Vienna and Dr. Shanaf Kendi in Berlin, and they were both two prominent Kurdish leaders of the oppositional parties of Iran. None of these were really cleared up, and the Kurds feel that they are targeted at the moment. But at the same time, this 16-year-old mm-hmm. French that has been in prison and it's been released because he carried out a different act for about 12 months ago. And he's said in a statement himself, and the French authorities have said it as well, that this was a racism act. And we need to, the way we staple terrorism, we need to staple the racism acts of these kind of individual as a terrorist act as well.
OK. Reem, many say that there is a double standard here and that the issue of racial violence should have been prosecuted in France as a terrorist act against civilians.
Indeed. First of all, the investigation is still going on. So clearly we are going to know more about the alleged assailant. But it's true there is this double standard, especially in the media, when such attacks occur. And indeed, as you mentioned previously, the Minister of Justice declared that it might be a racially motivated attack. except that I believe that we shall not reserve the key word only to brown people. But I also think that for the anti-terrorist prosecutor, there is like qualifying, and again, I know it's very hard to hear, but this is unfortunately the legal red tape, to qualify an act of terrorism, many elements have to be gathered. So far, as far as I know, this element have been gathered, but again, the investigation is currently going on. But I think that if the qualification has not been given just yet, is because they are still finding out how this man proceeded, if he's part of a group or if he's a loner. But clearly, there is a double standard in the use. Mm-hmm. And at some point, we need to figure out who we want to target here, because, again, the T-word should not be reserved just for a certain type of people we don't like.
Hamid, do you agree with Kushal in the, on the fact that we should put more emphasis and shed more light on the rise of far-right movements and populism in Europe as one of the biggest reasons why we're having hate speech and attacks targeting minorities?
Well, yeah. We've seen today the political map in France with Marine Le Pen. And this is started in 2022 when the leadership of the Rassemblement National, the former party, which is now the Rassemblement National, with Jean-Marie Le Pen, the father of Marie Le Pen, when he was in the second round against Jacques Chirac, we've seen a huge movement, huge protests against racism. Today, it's quite different. Today, the populist party, they are very famous. The people do agree with the idea of racism, of immigration. I think it's our failure about ignorance of these all aspects. So I believe today the government has to act against the Islamophobia and racism. And I would like to say that it is important today to why not to nominate a minister against discrimination and racism. France needs this minister in order to fight this deeply roots in our French society. That's why I think this also this cherry picking picking inclusiveness is also a manifestation of neocolonialism through which France extracts human talent from its former colony and reject the rest, the unworthy. And mm-hmm. I think it is very important today that to accept the minority and to integrate them in the French society. Look, the UK, we've got today a mayor in London, which is Sadiq Khan. He's a Muslim and British, and he's mayor of London. Look to the Sunak, which is who is a prime minister in the UK. What is about France? Which minority in the French government we have? Nothing. So I believe today France can do a very important, can take very important actions against mm-hmm. discrimination and promote the diversity in all aspects, which is in the enterprise, which is in the government, which is in the all aspects.
Okay, Kushal, you've mentioned earlier the triple murder of the Kurdish activist in Paris 10 years ago. What is the general sentiment among the Kurds in Europe and in France in particular? Do you think this anger is related to the fact that they see that minorities have been targeted, or the Kurds themselves have been targeted for their own activism?
In all honesty, I think it's both. But I think the Kurds, what we're seeing in the riots in Paris currently, as Kurds, they are angry, they are disappointed at a country like France, a democratic country, where the Kurds are not safe, unfortunately. As I said, 10 years ago, there was assassination of three Kurdish women, and it was never cleared up. And this has left the Kurds in a disbelief and a discomfort, and they don't believe in the government anymore. And then this happens on the 10th anniversary. Another three Kurdish people are being targeted. So, of course, it leaves the Kurds with an anger. And it will lead to such a thing when a nation, a biggest nation in the world without a state, no one's hearing them out, no one's listening to their voices, mm-hmm. and they've been targeted within their countries, and then they're targeted in diaspora. They've fled from oppression, and then they come and settle in Europe and in the West, and in democratic countries, in democratic states, and yet they're still not safe. So, of course, it will lit an anger within
them. Reem, the French Ministry of Interior reported 30% rise in race-related crimes in the country. And you can see that the pattern has been on the increase over the last few years. This could be an indication there is a huge problem within the state itself when it comes to the racism.
You know, I have always said that, you know, the far right might not be in power, but its ideology is. Social permission has been given for far right supporters, far right extremists to act, you know. And it has been, you know, if the far right today is mainstream, it's because the mainstream looks like the far right. Mainstream political parties are using far right ideology in their public policy, in their discourse, in their narrative, to the point that sometimes you don't even know if it's a far right politician or a traditional politician saying a certain racist, you know, given a racist speech and so on and so forth. Mm-hmm. And this is real life. This is what happened when you mainstream an ideology based on hatred, based on, and of course, besides that, the media, or at least certain type of media, and I'm thinking about those opinion channels, who sprayed 24/7 on a daily basis hatred toward migrants, towards refugees, toward people of color, toward, you know, Muslims. And this is real life now. Mm-hmm. And from rhetoric, we are now into action. And to see people who are supposed to represent the nation, who are supposed to protect their people, regardless of their origins, of their immigration status, their color, their religion, using the far right for to keep power, this is extremely dangerous for our democracy and for our rule of law.
Okay. Hamid, now with the rise of the far right in Europe and the way they have been instrumentalizing religion, Islam in particular, and anti-immigration sentiment to gain more support among Europeans. If that continues, how do you see the future of the minorities in Europe?
Well, the future is very worrying for these all minorities, but I believe if in 2027 we can have in the power, we can have extreme right party in the power in France or in Europe. We've seen in Italy what's happened and other countries. I believe today we need to take action. This government has to be, you know, in the round, has to be in the ground to take the action and to meet the minorities, all minorities, particularly this Kurdish community, which has been targeting many times, but not of them. What I believe is today the political map has to be changed in 2017. Mm-hmm. I believe everything will change. New party will be emerged, but there is also a strategy for this French president, Emmanuel Macron. Emmanuel Macron is the candidate who promised that he's going to fight discrimination and racism, but he did nothing in the reality. Mm-hmm. He's trying to keep both parties sweet with the far right and the leftist, which is very difficult for him. This, of course, put more difficulty for him and for his own party. He's preparing for 2027 in order to put his own candidate for 2027 to win, of course, the other French election.
Kushal, when the Kurds in France have been asking for more protection, are they talking about security to be beefed up around areas where they predominantly live, work, or are they talking about the need to change mindsets, laws in the country, for people to understand that there is a huge problem and that problem has to be genuinely addressed by the establishment?
I think when the Kurds are talking about protection, they talk in general about the whole West and the international community. As I mentioned earlier, this is not the first time Kurds have been targeted. This might not be a... but this might be just a racial attack. But previously, there have been proofs that... It has been proved that the assassinations of Kurdish leaders have been by the oppression, by the regimes, by the Islamic regime of Iran, for example. And I think when Kurds are asking for protection, they need the West and the international community to hear them, to back them up, to understand what the Kurdish struggle really is about. As we are seeing currently what is happening in Kurdistan and Iran, the revolution there, the Kurds are being extremely targeted. It's gravely the Kurds that are being heavily militarized. They are being tortured. They are being killed on a daily basis. And this is not just now. It has been happening for decades and decades. And it is happening in Turkey, for example. If we look at Turkey, is attacking the Kurds in Syria and they are attacking the Kurds in Iraq as well. So it's not just in Europe. But when the Kurds in diaspora in the West are asking for protection, they need this to be heard. They need the international community to take actions.
Reem, in the past and many times, United Nations panels have been asking France to promote equality, non-discrimination, diversity. But you know, in France, there's a problem, which is basically the establishment rejects the very idea of minority rights, saying that they are not compatible with the very notion and principles of the Republic, which prioritizes things like individual rights, equality, unity and universalism. But do you think that there is still a chance to change mindsets or change the constitution?
It's a bit more complicated. The problem in France that we have is that we have great principles, but we are not abiding by them. We say we are a colorblind nation. We do not treat people depending on their origins, their skin color, their religion. We protect individuals because they are humans. Great on paper. The truth is the colorblindness kind of keep us in denial when it comes to racism and discrimination. There are many reports from our ombudsman, for example, the Defender of Rights, warning the state that actions must be taken because there are people in our country born and raised here who are not considered fully French, who are regularly discriminating, whether it's at work, housing, and etc. So I think the main problem in France is that we are not applying the principle we are so proud of. And if anything, we are violating the very essence of our nation, which is liberty, equality, and fraternity. And I find it extremely interesting how our government, but not the current one, not just the current one, it was the same with the left as well and the traditional right wing, how very few actions are taken to tackle discrimination. And if anything, we use the colorblindness excuse to be like, we cannot be racist because we do not see race. We all know that it's unfortunately inaccurate.
Hamid, very briefly, if you don't mind, is France a racist country?
Well, I cannot say generally France is a racist country, but the mainstream politicians, some of them, of course, are racist.
Okay.
So I believe,
if you don't mind. Kushar, what's next for the Kurds in Europe?
Well, it's a very difficult question to answer. And I honestly hope and believe that the international community and Europe will take further actions to back the Kurds up and to understand their struggle the way we do it for Palestine and other nations. It is very important that the Kurds that are established in diaspora at least feel safer here. Many Kurds have fled from the oppression, but it's everyone's and every person's basic human rights to live in a free and democratic country and feel safe. So I hope dearly and deeply that the international community will stop turning their backs on the Kurds.
Reem, with the rise of the far right, are we likely to see more tension in the European continent with the minorities likely to face more uncertainty, tough times ahead?
I hope to be wrong on this one, but we need to keep in mind and remember that the far-right white supremacist is a transnational movement. They connect each other, they're in touch with each other, they use each other's arguments. And if we do not take the threat seriously, unfortunately, this type of attack will become more normal. And again, I really hope to be wrong on this one, but we need to address it as a transnational movement and not as an exception, because far-right extremism is real and need to be tackled. And a response must be given by authorities as soon as possible.
Well, we'll have to leave it there. Reem Sara Alwan, Kushar Walid Baghi, Hamid Shrit. I really appreciate your insight. Thank you. And thank you too for watching. You can see the program again anytime by visiting our website, aljazeera.com. For further discussion, go to our Facebook page. That's facebook.com/AJInsideStory. You can also join the conversation on Twitter. Our handle is at AJInsideStory. From me, Hashim Ahlbarra, and the entire team here in Doha. Bye for now. We'll be right back.